Okay, beginning of Perek of Dalid, an entirely new topic of new vision, Hirani Hashem, Hashem showed me a vision. And in the vision there were Shnei Dudoei Seinim, there were two baskets. A dud is a container, a basket, two baskets, two containers of figs. Muadim, that were standing. Okay, Muadim means that were being, Muadim means to be designated. They were prepared, Lefnei Heichal Hashem, before the Beis HaMikdash. Acharei Haglois Nebuchadrezzar Melech Bavel Yechoniah Ben Yehoyakim Melech Yehuda. Okay, this vision, this...
Could you be quiet, please, by the last track?
Achrei, this vision took place after Achrei Higlois Nebuchadrezzar Melech Bavel Yechoniah Ben Yehoyakim Melech Yehuda. This took place after Nebuchadnezzar exiled Yechoniah Ben Yehoyakim Melech Yehuda via Sari Yehuda, and the Sari Yehuda via Sacharosh via Samasker Yerushalayim. This all took place after the exile of Yechoniah ben Yehoyakim el Yehuda and the Sari Yehuda, the leaders of Yehuda, v'yes HaChorosh, Chorosh is the craftsman, v'yes HaMasker, the Masker are the gatekeepers. Mirushalayim, by Yevi'im, Bavel, and they were brought down.
You forgot.
They were brought down to Bavel. Okay, let's see over here now. Let's see over here with the parish of the Mitzvah. When exactly this Nebuah took place? Pasuk Aleph in the Mitzvah. Studied Hirani Hashem b'Mara Hanavuah. Hakadosh Baruch Hu showed me in a vision. Dudoei means Kelim Meleim Teinim Hayu Mizumanim Lefnei Heichal. There were utensils that were filled. With figs.
No.
They were kelim that were filled with things that were mizumanim that were standing lefnei heichal before the heichal. Achar higlois choizel l'tchilas hamikra loymar shezer ro achar shagolim Nebuchadnezzar. This all took place after Nebuchadnezzar exiled Yehoyachin. Who else did he exile? He exiled Yehoyachin. He exiled the Sari Yehuda, the Achorish v'hamasker him umnim v'shoymer hashaolim asher sagru oisam v'itam. These are the craftsmen. These are the craftsmen and the shomrei ha'asharim and the gatekeepers asher sagru oisam v'itam that would close the gate in the proper time. V'chein tirgim yoyin asan. Okay, so we're dealing over here with the famous story of the Chorosh and the Hamasker. And the Chorosh and the Hamasker simply means these were the people that Nebuchadnezzar was afraid of. If after he would send into exile, he would allow these people to live and to remain in position. These people were skilled laborers, and they posed a real threat to Nebuchadnezzar. They can organize and they can make weapons and they can do things that would be the threat and the disturbance to Nebuchadnezzar. Therefore, Nebuchadnezzar felt the only way he would be able to make sure that the people in Yerushalayim would behave themselves would be to exile these people. That's who we're referring to as the Chorosh and the Hamasker. Okay, now let's see over here the more and more interpretation. Okay, let's see over here the Rashi Pasuk. Rashi, Pasuk Aleph. Let's see the Radak, Pasuk Aleph. Hirani Hashem b'chirik ha-hei. It says over here, Hirani, there's a dot on the hey, it's Hirani. V'nei amihol shnei dudu'ei te'en. There are two different baskets of figs. Omar hareni b'mara hanavuah shnei dudu'ei te'enim. There are two baskets of figs. V'alef ha-dudu'ei te'enim nosefes. Ke'alef, like the Aleph, chamishim lula'os, like the 50 hooks. V'chein Omar Hadud Echad Beloy Aleph in Yonai Salim means a basket. V'chein Tegim Yonason Saleh, he translates it as a basket. The word Dudu'ei means a dud. A dud is a basket. And there's no need for the Aleph. The Aleph is superfluous. That's just the way the Pasuk is written. That's the style of writing it in an Aleph into to give some, to just pair the word. Now these were figs. They were mu'adim, mu'chanim, umizumanim, lechol. They were ready to be eaten. This event took place after Nebuchadnezzar when the exiled Melech Bavel is Yechoniah. Who else did he exile? The Chorosh v'Hamasker. Who are the Chorosh v'Hamasker? Yoyatzim v'chachamim hayu. V'yonesam tirgim yos umonayo v'yos Tora'aya, the craftsman, and the Tira'aya means the people that the gatekeepers. So over here, the Radak is telling us that the Chorosh HaMasker is going to the Medrash that refers to the Talmidei Chachamim. Now, why were they called Chorosh and Masker? So the Medrash elaborates. Chorosh means that after they said something, everyone was silent. Let me actually read the words in more precise translation of the words.
The Gemara has that lashon of Chorosh Ramaskilu Talmidei Chachamim.
Now that's the Gemara I'm referring to.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm referring to over here. So I don't see it over here on this edition. I have it in my other edition. He explains he has the exact words of Chazal, but Chorosh means a deaf mute. When they would open up their mouths, when they would speak, everyone else was silent. You can hear a needle, what's it called, a pin drop. They close their ears in silence to listen to the brilliant words of the Talmidei Chachamim. That's why it's called Chorosh. Chorosh comes from the word Cheresh, a deaf, a Cheresh means a deafness. So it means no one else. So how does it refer to deafness? I don't remember. Give me one moment. Over here, they have it over here.
You don't hear a sound.
You don't hear a sound. You don't hear a sound, right? Deaf. You don't hear a sound. When they would speak, there was complete silence, as if a person, Rahman al-Islam, was deaf. It's an example, a metaphor. Masker means when they would close the sefer, there would be nothing more to write. In other words, when they tackled a topic and they expounded upon the topic, they covered every single detail that was possible. They exhausted all of the information. Anything that possibly you could want to talk about was discussed, and there was nothing further to say on that matter. When they closed, there was nothing more to open. And likewise, they will say masker. Well, masker means to close. That's why they will call the Chorosh, the Hamasker. These were the Talmidei Chachamim. They were exiled together with Yechonya, and that was a blessing in disguise. It was only because they went into Eretz Yisrael, they went into Golis a number of years before, 11 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, they were able to establish an infrastructure for the exiles that would come 11 years later. And if not for this infrastructure that was established in advance, Klal Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom, would not have survived. So this was indeed a blessing in disguise, the Chorosh and the Hamas. So here we have over here a number of interpretations. Yid Chorosh Mashkar, so everyone over here is describing, it means the craftsman. The Chorosh is a craftsman, the Hamasker is a gatekeeper, which means people, gatekeeper basically means people who are in the administration. Like in the workforce, there are the blue-collar workers, and there are the white-collar workers. The gatekeepers were what you call the white-collar workers, the administrators, the people that worked in the office, desk jobs, and they were making sure everything was accordingly. They closed, and it's symbolic in closing the gates. Closing the gates means they would examine the books. They would examine the books and do all the bookkeeping for the nation. The Chorosh are the actual craftsmen, the people that built the roads and bridges and the buildings, the blue, the plumbers, the electricians, the blue-collar workers. These people were people that posed a great threat to the Nebuchadnezzar. Because in ancient times, when you conquer a country, you don't just take over the country. You don't have the manpower. You appoint a puppet king that's going to be loyal to you. The Nebuchadnezzar attacked. He showed that he's in charge. He's just appoints. He makes an appointment, and this person is going to be responsible to pay taxes and be loyal to Nebuchadnezzar. However, he realized that since in this community there are some very skilled people, the Chorosh Namaskir, there are people who are craftsmen and there are people who are very clever in dealing with all financial matters and all administrative matters, they would organize and rise up against the Nebuchadnezzar and rebel. In order to prevent this from happening, he took these people with him, so all that would be left in Yerushalayim were for the common man who would not have the skills, the resources to rebel, and everything would be peaceful. That is the simple interpretation. But the deeper interpretation is he took with him the Talmidei Chachamim because he recognized that the Talmidei Chachamim, they are the lifeblood of Klal Yisrael. And if they will be Talmidei Chachamim in Klal Yisrael, then ultimately they would rebel and they would rebel. So therefore he took with him the Talmidei Chachamim down to Babel. And as we mentioned, this was a blessing in disguise. Now, this that it says here, there were two Dudo'ei. So we're going to see soon, there are two different, he saw in his vision, in front of the Beis HaMikdash, in front of the Heichal Hashem, the Heichal, the Dudo'ei, this refers to next week's parasha, Parashas Kisavo, Bikurim. Because the first thing you bring for Bikurim are the figs. This is what Rashi says in the beginning of Parashas Kisavo. The first things that develop are figs, and the farmer would go into his orchard and would tie a blade of grass upon the fig that has blossomed to indicate this is the first fruit. And you would take this, put it in a basket, you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, you would present it before the Mizbeach, and you would say Vidui. So here, what the Pasuk is coming to do, the Medrash says that it's coming to allude to the Bikurim. Now Bikurim is called the Reishis Pri Ho'adamah. The Reishis Pri Ho'adamah is a marshal for Klal Yisrael. And the Pasuk here is telling us, we have to really get into details, is even though we're going to see here that one of these baskets is rotten, and it's disgusting, it's decaying, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even though that may be so, I still have value, I still appreciate, it's still valuable to me because it still has the Kedusha of Bikurim. Just because Rahman Ritzon Klal Yisrael is not Oisim Ritzon Shel Mokan, and to an observer, it looks like it is disgusting, it is decayed, it's rotten, yet it has Kedusha. It still is called the Reishis Pri Ho'adamah, which is symbolic of Klal Yisrael. So let's see what it's over here, the next Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Hadud to Echad, Pasuk Beis, one dud, one basket, was Te'enim, Toivois, Ma'od, were very good, high quality figs. Kise'enei HaBakuros, like the early, Bakuros means the early figs, the figs that ripen early are typically much better quality. The figs that ripen later in the scene are grade B quality. So here it says it's grade A quality, but the Medrash points out the fact that it says over here, HaBakuros, it alludes that these figs that we are discussing are compared to the Bikurim, the Reishis Pri Ho'adamah. Klal Yisrael is called Reishis Tevuaso, is also called the first. This alludes to Klal Yisrael, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even at this time when he's expressing his frustration, his anger against Klal Yisrael, he still acknowledges that Klal Yisrael has Kedusha. V'hadud Echad, and the other basket was Te'enim, where figs were Os Ma'od, they were very, very bad. Ashalos say Ochalma Meroa, the quality was so poor they could not be eaten due to their poor state. Pasuk Gimel Vayomer Hashem Elai, Mo'ataroya Yirmiyahu. What do you see? Vo'imar, and Yirmiyah said, Te'enim, I see figs. And he goes on to explain that the figs, there are two different qualities of figs. There's grade A and there's grade C. Te'enim ha'toivois. The Te'enim that ha'toivois, toivois ma'od, are very, very good. The ha'ra'os, ra'os ma'od. And the ones that are very bad are very bad. Ashelo si'achalna me'roa. The quality is so poor, they cannot be eaten. Farshim pointed out that sometimes, very, very often, when you have something good and bad, it's relative. You can have the best of the best, and one you'll call good and one you'll call bad, not because the other one is bad, it's relative. Relative to the best, it's 5-star, so 4-star is Ro'os. 4-star is not Ro'os, 4-star is 4-star. I mean, what do you expect already? To go book a room in a 4-star hotel, you'll be paying a hoin raf. That's not called Ro'os. But relative to the 5-star hotel, it's called Ro'os. So the Farshim point out that the repetition of this pasuk indicates that that's not the pshat here. Don't make a mistake and think here that the basket of poor figs is only poor relative to the good figs. When it says here it's Ro'os, it means it was inherently raw. It was rotten to the core, and all standards it's called Ro'os. Let's see over here these two psukim in Sanu Mitzugah Stav. Pasuk base. Te'enim Malaya Te'enim. There's a basket full of figs. Kite'enim Habakuros. Kite'enim Hamubushalim. Kol Tzachon. Like figs that have been Mubushalim. Kol Tzachon. Fully ripened. Pasuk next words. Mitzugah Meiroa. And then there were figs that cannot be due to their poor state. Bavur Ro'osan. Due to their poor state, lo hayev shalachon, they cannot be eat. Pasuk gimel, toivos ma'od, hema toivos ma'od, they're very, very good. Ro'os ma'od, hema ro'os ma'od. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, pasuk beis, says, kit'eni habakuros, kishabishlu kol tzarchon, bitchila, בתחילת ביקורי תאנים, שהם חביבויס על מוצאיהם בראשיסם, they're חביבויס, they're precious. The fruits, the figs that blossom in the beginning of the season have a chavivos, have a degree, there's a degree of preciousness. I guess number one, because it's a very high quality fig. Number two, is being that it came early in the season, that itself allow, that itself arouses a chavivos in the person's heart. Okay, next. Your machine went out. Okay, next, let's go now to Radak and Pasuk.
Thank you.
Okay, I have more. I have it over here anyway. Okay, Pasuk, based in the Radak, Hadud, Echod, Kiteni Habakuros, Hasmuchois Leitzim, Kiilu Omar. Now, this that it says, Kiteni Habakuros, means the Smuchos. Lo eitzim ki ilu amar kiteine atse, like the figs of the atse hateina hamir. Okay, I don't know what this means. Hasmuchos le eitzim, it's smuchos to the bakuros,
maybe to the tree, the main trunk of the tree.
So he's translating the bakuros. It means not. It could then very well be he's learning not like. Not like Rashi, that it's early in the season, but it means bakuros, means the trunk. The figs that are nearest the trunk of the tree, those figs are the ones that ripen early. They ripen first. Kiilu amar kiteine atse hatein, like the figs of the wood of the teina, hamivakuros, that blossom. Bikoros Toar is a description. V'zochar asamteinim kihem nechmodos v'enei motzeihem. They are precious in the eyes of one who finds them. L'fi shahem bakuros, because they're early in the season. V'chein amar ki bikurot v'teina b'reish shisa v'isi avosechem. I've seen your forefathers in their early years. Hashem says, I saw your forefathers blossom in their early years, and it was precious in my eyes. Meroya, the next words of the Radak, so there's no more Radak over here until Pasuk Ches. Okay. Now let's go further. Now what happens? Pasuk Dalet. What is the deep meaning over here of this image? Pasuk Dalet says, Vayid Hashem Elai Lemar, Koyamara Shemeloke Yisrael, Kata'inim, Hatevos, Oila Kain, so to Akir Eskolus Yehuda, so to I will recognize the Golus of Yehuda Shashilachti Minamoke Maze Eretz Kastim Litoiva. The good basket of figs is symbolic of the golus of Yehoyachin. Yehoyachin, with the Choresh v'Hamasker and the Sarah Yehuda, they will survive. They will develop into a basket of beautiful, precious, delicious figs. Pasuk Vav, v'samti enai aleihem l'toiva. The Golus Yehoyachin, these people who went into Golus 11 years early, I will guard them. I will protect them. V'hashivosim al ha'aretz hazos. The day will come when they indeed will return to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the Bayis Sheni in 70 years. Uvinisim, I will allow them to be rebuilt. V'lo yeheroys, they will not be torn apart. They will not be demolished. Unitatim, I will plant them once again in Eretz Yisrael, v'loy etoish, and I will not abandon them. Pasuk Zayin, v'nasati l'chem lev lodaso si, Hashem says, I will inspire them to know me, ki ani Hashem, v'hoyu li l'on, will be to me as a people, v'anochi yeyeh l'chem l'elokim, I will be to them as a God, ki yashuvu elai b'chol libam, these people will do tshuva, they will return to me with the entire heart. Now, let's go further, Pasuk Ches, on the other hand, the other basket of figs, v'chate'enim hara'os, but with regard to the other basket of figs, asher lo si'achalno me'roya, that are so, they're in such a poor state, which cannot be eaten due to their poor state, ki'choyama, with regard to them, I have the following message. This is symbolic of tzidkiyohu, and the people that are going to be present at the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash 11 years after the Golus of Yehoyachin, Ki Choyam Hashem Kein Etein Es Tzidkiyo Melech Yehuda, so I will deliver Sidkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, Yesorov, Yesheris, Yerushalayim, Hanisharim, which remain, Baritz Azos, Vahyoshim Yeretz Mitzrayim, and the people that live in Egypt, because we know that the last group of exiles went to Egypt. After Tzidkiyahu, after Nebuchadnezzar conquered Yerushalayim and destroyed and killed all the people and exiled the vast majority, the survivors, he allowed a group, a few people to remain under the authority of Gedaliah ben Achikam. Gedaliah ben Achikam was, he was leading this small, very small group of survivors through the appointment of Nebuchadnezzar. And then the people who lived there rose up against him and they murdered him. He was assassinated. And that assassination was a horrible event. And the people were afraid that when Nebuchadnezzar would find out that Gedaliah ben Achikam was assassinated, he would come and he would kill them all. So they all picked themselves up and they went to Egypt. They fled to Egypt as a safe haven to avoid the confrontation with Nebuchadnezzar when he would find out what they did to Gedaliah ben Achikam. And Nebuchadnezzar, now in Egypt, so here, that's what the loose will be here, Be'eretz Mitzrayim, the people, the last group of survivors that go down to Mitzrayim, Hashem says they are compared to this basket of figs that is in a very poor state that cannot be eaten, Meroya. And the Pasuk test says, Mesatim Lizava, I will set these people for horror. I will deliver them, Unisatim Lizava, I will deliver these last group, Lizava, as terror, Lira'a, for evil, L'chol Mam L'chos Aretz, all of the nations of the earth, L'cherpa, for shame, Ulemashal, as a parable, V'lishmina, L'shmina means a lesson, which is a similar word to a mashal. In other words, everyone's going to say, look at the Jewish people, look what happens when you rebel against Hashem, look what happens when you sin, look at what Hashem does to you. V'lik lala, as a source of curse, b'chol ha'makamos asher adichem sham, all the place which I will drive them away, period. Pasuk yud v'shilachtim, b'mes achere v'yes hara'av, I will send upon them the sword and the famine, v'yes hadover, a plague, ad tumam, until they have been obliterated, m'yal v'adam asher nasati lohem v'la avoseihem. That is the end of the vision. So to summarize the vision, we have over here, Hashem shows Yirmiyah two baskets full of figs. One basket is delicious figs that have ripened early in the season. The other basket are figs that are spoiled, that are in such poor state that they cannot be eaten. And Hashem says the basket of figs that is delicious is symbolic of Yechoniah. Yechoniah, the son of Yoshiyahu, who was exiled 11 months before the Chor Beis HaMikdash with the Chorosh V'Hamasker, those people, when they come down to Babel, they're going to do tshuva, they're going to repent, and they're going to establish an infrastructure in Babel, they're going to develop in the ways of Yiras Hashem, and they will ultimately return and rebuild the Bayis Sheni, and the Klal Yisrael will be rebuilt through them. Indeed, who was the first king of the Bayis Sheni? Zerubbabel. Who was Zerubbabel? He was the grandson of Yechoniah. So you see, from Yechoniah was the rebuilding of Klal Yisrael. But Tzidkiyahu, who was the last king, the third son of Yoshiyahu, who remained in Eretz Yisrael, together with the vast majority of Klal Yisrael, nothing will come from them. They will be destroyed. The Nebuchadnezzar will conquer, will destroy them, will kill them, and will exile them, and the few people that will run to Egypt will also be destroyed. Nothing will come from them. They will be nothing more than a curse. A cherpa, mashal, l'shmina, l'klala, b'chol ha'makam yisra, adadichem sham. Okay, let's see all these spoken in the Farshim. Let's go back over to Mitzvah Stavit Pasik. Hey, in Pasik Hey is describing. In Pasik Hey, we are describing the good figs. Kite'enim hatayva yisraela, the good figs. Shehema chavivim, they are chavivim, b'nei adam miskarvim aleihem, they are delicious, and everyone wants to have some of them. Kain akir es golos Yehuda, so I will recognize the golos of Yehuda, return to loymar, im kinasu zodim shemimeni, ki hirchaktim me'al gavuli, even though they become strange to me, because they have sinned, and Hashem says I had no choice but to exile them, hinei, the day will come when the Shmarkle says I will accept their teshuva and I will bring them close to me once again. L'toyva, chayzu l'mal l'omar kena ki l'toyva, I'll recognize them for good. Pasik vav, in the Mitzudos David, v'samti einai, ashkiach aleihem l'toyva, l'shamram bagoyla, I will pay attention to them and guard them. V'hashiv oisin, v'zman abayis hasheni, I will return them, v'bayis sheni, v'nisio, v'loy eherois, I will rebuild them, they will not be demolished. Ritzon Eloimar Choyl v'chvar of Arleim Hatzara Lo Yikavu Od Me'ata Harisa. They will no longer have to yearn, or Yikavu means have to worry. They will no longer worry that it will happen to them once again. Ki im binyan b'shum l'shalayim b'bayis hasheni. When they come back and rebuild the Bayis Sheni. In other words, the Bayis Sheni is meant to be forever. Loy kamoy han nishon mi Yerushalayim asher yikavu al harisa hoil v'adayin lo yavar aleihem hatzara v'lo yikiblu hagmol. Not like the people in Yerushalayim, the destruction that will come to them will be complete. They're always going to be in a state of worrying. What's going to happen to them? Unitatim kafal hadavar b'milim shaynois. We have poetic repetition. V'nisati pasuk zayin. Etein lohem leiv mevin lodas oisi asher ani Hashem. I will, Hashem says, I will inspire them. I will inspire them to know that I am Hashem. V'hoyuli la'am lahamin bi, to believe in me, v'lekabel al moroi, and to take upon myself yirah shamayim. V'yonochi liyois be'ezrosam, I will be at their assistance. Period. Now we come to Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches describes the basket of the figs of poor quality. Kilu amru hanishonim b'de bam yu kiteinim haros asher ein lochlam bavur asan. The people that remain in Yerushalayim under the authority of Tzidkiyahu, they will all perish. Hasnuim umiruchokim mi b'nei adam, that are hated and are distanced from man. Kenetein liyos sonei muruchok, they will be hated and they will be distanced. V'hayoshvim be'eretz Mitzrayim shaholchu im Yochanan ben Kerach leMitzrayim v'nisyashu shama asher lo kmitzas Hashem. And this refers after the death of Gedaliah ben Achikam, the new leader that was appointed was Yochanan ben Kerach. That was his name, and he decided that it would be in their best interest to go to Yerushalayim. What Yochanan did was against the advice of Yirmiyah.
To Mitzrayim.
Yirmiyah told them not to go. Yirmiyah said, just remain here, do not worry, nothing is going to happen to you. They did not listen to the advice of Yirmiyah. They went to Mitzrayim, and indeed they were all killed in Mitzrayim. Unisatim pasuk tes, ritzon Eloimar, emosham l'chomamuchos ha'aretz liyosam l'zav l'ra'ah. They will be delivered to all the nations of the world as a source of terror and evil. Ki kulam yacharedim v'yiru lachem. All of the nations of the world will terrorize them and will do evil to them. Wherever the Jews go into Galus, there will be a source of degradation. Wherever they go, they will be abused and persecuted. People will say, they'll use the Jewish people as a mashal. And when they'll curse their friends, they'll say, you should be like a Jew. Or when they say, oh, this guy has no mazel, he's like a Jew. This goes on ad hayom hazeh. Anyone that is a failure in life, the nickname, the insult, the title is he's a Jew. Ulishanina yasmidu l'saper mehatzaros habos aleihem. Gesundheit will be a topic of discussion to describe and talk about the tzaros that have come upon the Jews. For the klala, a person who curses his friend will say, you should be cursed like a Jew. Hamakalal yidla haklala bohem loy matiyah ki yehudim hamu'ulalim. You should be like the cursed Jewish people. All of these things, unfortunately, we know from hindsight. Yirmiyah, he wrote this over here, he wrote this down over here 3,000 years ago. And we over here, 3,000 years later, know all unfortunately too well and good. Just open up any textbook, or listen to any story, or even open and watch in the news. You know, what do you have to do? Everyone has their own stories. Everyone has their own horror stories, personal horror stories. Even in the best of times, galus is galus, and how true these words have become. Atumam, and yichlu me'al ha'adam until they no longer exist. Okay, so this is the mitzvah. Let's see, Radak. Radak is Rashi. From Rashi. Rashi pasuk hey, kein akir eskalus harei zemikah v'suras, kein akir l'toyva eskalus Yehuda sheheglisi kvar. I, Hashem says, I'm Yechonya v'galus. Hashem says that I'm going to protect, inspire, guard the galus of Yehoyachin. Pasuk vav etoyish l'shon akira. But on the other hand, the galus of Tzidkiyahu, they're going to be uprooted. Pasuk tes l'za'ava l'ra'ah l'chol ma'mukhez aretz sheyishmu ha'ra'ah haba aleihem v'yezuhu. The world will hear the horrors that have come upon the Jewish people, and they will be shaken to the core. For lishmina sheyishnenu, they will lashna like v'shinantam l'vonecha v'dibar tabam. You shall teach diligently to your children. Lashon to repeat, to be meticulous, and to repeat over and over again. Lashon of sheni. Don't do it once, do it twice. And twice is a mashal, do it three times, four times. And that's how Rashi translates over here, v'lishnina sheyish nenu, they will repeat it. It will be a continuous topic of discussion to describe the paranus that has come upon the Jewish people. V'dabru hakol bit paranusam. Everyone will speak continuously about the paranus. Okay, this concludes Rashi. Radak, it's very short. Radak pasuk ches v'chaseinim ki'ilu amar v'hanishvarim yug te'inim hara'os. Those that will be broken will be like the te'enim ha'ra'os, will be like the figs that are ra'os. The achakach perish v'amar koyam Hashem. And we describe the hayoshim be'eretz Mitzrayim, v'hasha'eris shayu yoshim oz be'eretz Mitzrayim, the remnants who fled to Egypt, oysim she'elchu im Yochanan ben Kerach. Exactly what the Mitzudo said, l'za'ava. They will be a source of terror. Ksiv uchri le zava. It's the kriv ksiv. The vav and the ayin are interchanged. The inyan echad hu keves kesef. Just like we find many words, keves and kesef, the two letters are interchanged. Or for example, simla and salma, a garment. You have many words where the letters can be interchanged, and it means exactly the same thing. And that's what it means over here. We have over here. Lezava is the same as if the ayin would come before the vav. Lecherpa b'loy vav, lishmina b'loy vav. You're just telling us there is no vav.
Where would there be a vav?
Lecharufa maybe? Lecharufa between the resh and the pei?
Lecharpa.
Or lechorpa, lechol after the ches, I don't know. Lechorpa? Lechorpa, lechorpa? Or l'charufa. Okay, u'lishanina b'loivav. He's telling us this is the way, the correct word. Okay, so this concludes over here, this parak, this prophecy, and there's a very powerful Musar Haskel in this, that is, in Klal Yisrael, there's always going to be, this goes back to Yaakov, this goes back to the story of Yaakov and Esav. When Yaakov was running away from Esav, Yaakov went for 22 years to the home of Laban to run away from Esav. Then finally it came time when Yaakov Avinu decided to go back and visit his parents. Hashem said to Yaakov, the time has come, return back to Eretz Canaan. And then he met up with Esav, the Machane Esav. So what did Yaakov do? He split the Machane. The Hayom, Machane HaNishar, if Esav is going to attack one Machane, the Hayom, Hamachane Hanishar Lifleta. Maisa Avol Sid Lebanon in Klal Yisrael is always going to be two machanes. And you see that today also. Every time you find in the history of the world that there is a segment of Klal Yisrael that is suffering greatly, Hashem always arranges, there's always going to be Hamachane Hanishar Lifleta. Look at the time of the Crusades. The Crusades affected the Jews in Germany. But the Jews in Spain were safe. Okay, even the Jews in France, at least in the beginning, not in the end, also, there's always going to be Hamachane Hanishar Lifleta. It goes through the entire history, every example in history, you'll always find whenever there's going to be one situation where there's going to be a tsar in one place of the world, there's a place that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged, created the world. And that is being expressed here as well. There are two Dudoim. There's the dud of the te'enois ha'itoivois, and there is the dud hata'enos horos. Even when there is a matzav in Klal Yisrael where there's a dud of ta'enos horos, where things don't go according to plan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always allow there to be a dud of the ta'enim hatoivos to be the she'eris haplato for Klal Yisrael. Okay, so that concludes this nevuah. Is there anything I wanted to say over here? Okay, let's leave it with that. Let's now go to the next part. Perek Chafei. Hadavar asher hayal yom al kol am Yehuda b'shana harviyis lehayakar ben Yoshiyahu. Okay, now we're going to a new theme. The following, here we're going to give, Hashem is going to give Klal Yisrael one more chance. So let's see the pesukim inside that. Hadavar, the following matter, asher hayal yom al am Yehuda b'shana harviyis lehayakar ben Yoshiyahu, in the fourth year of Yehayakar ben Yoshiyahu, Melech Yehuda. Now Yehoyakim was the king for 11 years. 11 years he was king after the death, shortly after the death of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu died. The first one to take his place was Yehoyachas. Yehoyachas only ruled for 3 months. After 3 months, who deposed him? Paro Necho, the Egyptian king. And then Yehoyakim took the throne. And Yehoyakim lasted 11 years until Nebuchadnezzar conquered Yehoyakim. So it was in the fourth year of Yehoyakim ben Yoshua Melech Yehuda, here Hashanah HaRishayna, Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. In the fourth year of Yehoyakim, that is the time when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. Pasuk Beis, Ashadibah Yib Yohanavi Gal Kolam Yehuda, Yel Kol Yoshua Yushlaim Lemar, here was the following message. Min shloish esrei shana liyoshio ben Amon Melech Yehuda viad hayoyim hazeh, from the 13th year of Yoshio ben Amon Melech Yehuda viad hayoyim hazeh ze shloish vi esrim shana, this for 23 years hoya dvar Hashem Eloi, Hashem has been speaking to me. Now this goes back, very important, goes back to the beginning of the Sefer Yirmi. If you go back to the very beginning, you go back first pasuk. So what we're learning now in Perukhov Dalit, Perukhov Hey, is taking us back to the very beginning of the Sefer, the very first time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Yirmiyahu was in the 13th year of his Malchus. The very first pasuk of the Sefer. And that idea here is being repeated again, once again, from the 13th year of Yoshua ben Amon Melech Yehuda until now, for 23 years. Ze shalosh esrei shana, hoya dvar Hashem elai, because he ruled for 31 years. Yoshio was Melech for 31 years. So the last number of, so it's the 13th year plus from the 13th year until the 31st year, plus the first 4 years of Yoshio, is a total of 13 years. V'adaber aleichem ashkem v'daber v'lo yishmatem. I spoke to you for 23 years, early in the morning, late at night, continuously, and you have not listened. Pasuk Dalet. V'sholach Hashem aleichem es kol avodav hanadim. Hashkem v'shloach. It's not only me who has spoken to you continuously. I have a team. My team, all the people have spoken, all of the Nevi'im, and you have not listened. Not only have you not listened, you have not even bent your ear to listen. Lamar, what was the essence of my message to you? Shuvu no ish midarkoi haromei umeroya ma'alechem. Return, repent from your evil deeds, and from your evil ways, and from your evil deeds. Ushavu al ha'adama. And if you will only do so, you will be able to reside, to live on the earth. Hashem nosna Hashem lochem v'lavaseichem l'min ha'oilam v'yad oilam. From time immemorial, you will be able to continue living here. V'al teichu, do not go achar yelochem achadim lo'avdam v'lashtach v'is lochem. V'loy tzachisu v'isi, do not anger me b'maseh yideichem. V'loy ara lochem. And if you listen to me, I will not do evil to you. But v'loy shematem elaynum Hashem l'man hachiseini. You acted in spite to anger me b'maasei deichem l'ra lachem, for your detriment. Okay, let's see all these pesukim inside. They're very easy, obviously. starting with Pasuk Chav Hei in the Mitzudos, in Pasuk Aleph. Al Yirmiyahu El Yirmiyahu Lehayakim Lemalchus Yehayakim. Beis Al Kol Am El Kol Am Leyoshiyahu Lemalchus Yehoshiyahu. Okay, all very simple grammatical points. Ze Shaloish Esrei Shana. We have Yud Tes Shana Bimei Yoshiyahu, the remaining 19 years of Yoshiyahu, Kimolach Laman Al Shana. Because he ruled for a total of 31 years. It's very interesting, the number 31. Why is number 31 so significant? There were 31 kings of Canaan. The number 31 is a very important number in Jewish thought. There are 31 kings in Eretz Yisrael that were conquered by Yehoshua when he conquered the land. And Chazal say, Lahanchil le'ohavai yesh. What is yesh? The gematria, 310. What is the mispar katan of 310? 31. 31. Olam haba is called yesh. And what is yesh? 31. Eretz Yisrael is the olam haba of this world. And how many channels of malchus are there? 31. It's not just a coincidence that there are 31 kings who occupied and Hashem created the world and He gave the world to the Canaanim. For until Klal Yisrael came along and they took the land, there were 31 kings. It wasn't just, there are 50 states in the United States of America. There is something very significant in the fact that there are 31 malachim, there are 31 states in Eretz Yisrael. If you want to go learn that, there's the federal government and there's the state level. So you have 31 different channels. That represents a spiritual parallel. There are 31 kings in Eretz Yisrael that occupied the land before Klal Yisrael came. That means there are 31 different channels of sanctity that are coming down to this land, and in the meantime, these 31 kings, they temporarily have the right to maintain it, to control it. But when Klal Yisrael comes, they take those 31 different channels of spirituality, of Shefa, and they transform it into 31 channels of Kedusha. Why 31? Because Eretz Yisrael corresponds to Olam Haba. And Olam Haba is Shai Olamos. It's 310. It's magnified. 310. This is a microcosm. So it's the Mispar Katan 31.
Why wasn't David a Melech for 31 years?
Was Dara Melech was 33. Dara Melech was 7 and 33.
Close, 40.
So what does it mean? I don't know. But the interesting thing is that he was really considered to be the end. Yoshiyahu, even though we have 22 years of Malchus that continued after Yoshiyahu, in Chazal's eyes, Eretz Yisrael came to an end with the death of Yoshiyahu. We say this explicitly in the Kinos. It was meant to be, the Churban was meant to happen by Paro Necho, with the death of Yoshiyahu, but because they properly eulogized Yoshiyahu with the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, so it was extended 22 more years. But as far as Chazal are concerned, it really came to an end. All of the spiritual blessings came to an end with the death of Yoshiyahu. It's like a nice package. And the number 31 is significant because when Yeshua came, Yeshua's legacy is not 31 years. Yeshua was Melech founding 40 years, right? How many years was he king for? Yeshua. I don't know. But Yeshua's legacy was he conquered the land of the 31 kings. That was the Haschol of Eretz Yisrael. Yoshiyahu is the last king. Yeah, it's the Malchus 31 years. The number is significant. Okay, now we have over here 23 years. Esrim Zesh Shalosh V'Esrim Shana, 23 is also a very significant number because that's the number of the Sanhedrin. There are 23 members of the Sanhedrin. He's been giving prophecy for 23 years, almost warning them as a Bezdin. A Bezdin gives Ascharos. For 23 years, he's been giving them warnings. You better behave yourself or else you're going to suffer the consequences of losing the land. The last 19 years of Yoshiyahu and the first 4 years of Yehoyakim, Bino Harei Chav Gimel, that's 23 years. Hoye Dvar Hashem Elai, Dvar Hashem B'Hanavua. The following prophecy came to me. I was diligent in relaying prophecy. Avlatem lo shamatem, but you, my people, have not listened. Pasuk Dalet, Vishalach Hashem. I was not the only prophet. Maybe you'll tell me you have an excuse that there's no chemistry between me and you. Yirmiyah and Klal Yisrael, we're not a good shidduch. There's no chemistry. That's why we did not listen. Everyone had a different a leader in whom he could relate to. Hashem sent multiple leaders. We all know that to be very true in chinuch. Some rabbeim are gold. It's just gold for a Talmud. A Rebbe that may be a Rebbe that is instrumental in changing the life of one Talmud, that very same Rebbe can clash in personality with another Talmud and can chas v'shalom ruin that Talmud's life. We all know that we saw that certain Talmud, everyone, k'shem she'in partzufeim in adamas kach, they're the same. Everyone needs the right shidduch in many areas of life. And here Hashem will be saying, there's no excuse to say that you did not, that there are people who did not get along with the personality and the technique and the derech of Yirmiyah. I sent among you many prophets. Everyone had someone to whom he could relate and to whom he could listen. So there is no excuse for anyone to say, I just don't connect with this person. With great diligence, everyone should do tshuva and you'll be allowed to remain here. From the beginning until the time until now. But you refuse to listen. You did avodah zara. You worship idols, idols that are made with your own hands. I told you, behave. If you behave, I will not bring upon you evil. Even though I was speaking for your benefit, you did not listen. You deliberately, you lahachis, with spite. And this that you did it to anger me was not for your benefit. That is simple. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says Shalosh v'yasrim. Yirmiyah spoke. Go back to the previous pasuk. Back to the pasuk Aleph. B'shana harvias. Shana shenesatim shenitachtem. What's that word over there?
It's extra tough over here, no?
Shana.
Shenechtam
gzar dinam sheyiglu v'sheyishtu kois hachema. Okay, so shenechtam. Okay, I don't know what the suffix is there. You're right, I know. Shenischatem. The year in which it was sealed. It was sealed, your verdict. What's the verdict? The verdict was galus. So he's saying over here, I told you that Eretz really came to an end with the death of Yoshiyahu. He's saying, no, it's not really so. It's really, you have the conflicting Mamari Chazal. Here it seems to say that it was not the very end. There was still another 4 years and 3 months. 3 months of Yehoyachas and 4 years of Yehoyakim. That was the time when it was sealed, the fate of the Jewish people to go into Galus, sheyiglu v'sheyishdu kois hachema, what we always call the kois hatarela, the cup of poison. The cup of poison, which is a symbolic, which is an expression, which means that when you're going to, your fate is sealed to suffer, to drink the poison, your fate. K'mo she'amar b'inyan, kach es kois, like it says later on in Pasuk, tezvav, take the cup and drink it. The koydim gzar din omar lenavi lo hechiach ula yeshuvu v'lo yischatim gzar dinam, and therefore he's giving them one last chance. Here is, this is going to be the year. It's going to be the year that's no good. You have one last chance to do teshuva. Pasuk gimel shelosh v'esrim, for 23 years Yirmiyah was experienced prophecy. Yirmiyah was a prophet for a grand total of 40 years. But here we're only up to year 23, starting 19 years, the 19 last years of Yoshiyahu, the 13th year of his Malchus, all the way until the when right now he's speaking the fourth year of Yehoyakim. Yoshio Molach Shloshim Yachas, Semihem Shteim Esrei Shana, reduced 12 years. Nisharu Tisha Esrei, we're left with 19. So take away the first 12 years. Yoshio was the king for 31 years. Yirmiyah did not experience prophecy until his 13th year. So let us remove from 31, 12. 31 minus 12 is 19, plus the 4 years of Yehoyakim. Nisharu Tisha Esrei, V'arba Shel Bino, Hare Shalosh V'Esrim, 23 years of prophecy. Ashkem V'Diber, Loshon Hove, this is in the present tense. Hayisi Mashkim U'Medaber, Tamid, I continuously would give you words of Musa. No one here has an excuse as to why, as to what is going on, they would do, and that's ignorance. No one can claim ignorance. I've been warning you all these years exactly what's going to happen. Okay, let's see the Radak. Radak starting Pasuk Aleph Al Yirmiyah El. Radak Hadavar El Yir Al Yirmiyahu Kimo El Yirmiyahu. Hu Hashana Harishona LeNevuchadnezzar. The fourth year of Yehoyakim was the year when Nebuchadnezzar took the throne from his father, Merodach Biladon was the father. The other way around. It was. Evel Mordechai. Evel Merodach was the father. That was the father of Nebuchadnezzar. That was the year when he died. We have a stira. There it says in the third year, Lamalchus Yehoyakim, Melech Yehuda, Bonu Vuchanetzar, Melech Babel, Yerushalayim, Vayotzar Aleha, Ach Nemar, but it says, Ki Bishnash Shalosh Lamalchus Yehoyakim, Him Lichu Paro Necho Melech Nevuchanetzar. So what it means is that in the third year of the Malchus of Yehoyakim, Him Lichu Paro Necho Melech Nevuchanetzar, Paro Necho appointed Melech Nevuchanetzar, Uvol Yerushalayim, Vayotzar Aleha. Uvashono horavis liyoyakim mitchilas hashon nosan Hashem biyado es yehoyakim v'yashono rishoyno l'nevuchadnezzar. So it doesn't mean he wasn't actually the king. All it means is that Paro Necho, there were two appointments. Let's go back. Let's go back and read these words again. He's asking over here a contradiction. Over here it says it was the fourth year of Yehoyakim. In Sefer Daniel, it says that Nebuchadnezzar rose to power in the third year of Yehoyakim. So the Radak is answering the question that there were really two appointments. Paro Necho appointed Nebuchadnezzar, but it means that he was not independent. Paro Necho, even though he may have been the king, but even though Nebuchadnezzar may have been the king, he was a vassal. It was a vassal state. He was subordinate to Paro Necho. 1 year later, Paro Necho disappeared from the world stage. What happened? I don't know. Either he died, or he was defeated. He lost power, and at that point in time, Nebuchadnezzar became independent. He was no longer subordinate to Paro Necho. The major world power at the time of Yehoyakim, at the time of the death of Yoshiyahu, was Paro Necho. It was Paro Necho who assassinated. Who was responsible for the death of Yoshiyahu? He's the one who wanted to go to Carchemish, who wanted to go to fight Melech Ashur, and Yoshiyahu did not allow him to pass. And there was a war between Yoshiyahu and Paro Necho. Paro Necho won the war by killing Yoshiyahu. At that point in time, Paro Necho selected Yoshiyahu's oldest son, Yehotzadak, to become the new king. And then Paro Necho, after 3 months, said, I don't like this guy anymore, I'm going to kill him. And he killed him, he took him out. And then he appointed in his place his brother was Yehoyakim. And that went on for 4 years. And in four years, Paro Necho disappeared. Paro Necho disappeared, who became the new world power? The new world power was the Melech Bavel Nevuchadnezzar. He already was appointed as king a year before, but his power was not solidified for 1 year. It's like David. David was king ready for 7 years before he became king over the entire Klal Yisrael. That's exactly what Abigail said to David. David, you wanted to kill Naval? You want to kill my husband? Because my husband Naval, he insulted you. You have no right to kill him. Who do you think you are? So David said, I'm a melech. A melech can do whatever he wants. Abigail said to David, you're not a melech. Just because you were anointed and just because Shmuel told you you're a melech doesn't mean anything. You have to be accepted. Yatza tiv'acha ba'olam. Your reputation must go forth in the world in order for you to be in halacha considered a melech. In fact, some learn tivacha, it's not just a matter of reputation, you have to actually mint coins. I read an article, brings rise to this, is that you're not called a true melech until you mint coins with your name, and a representation of your malchus upon those coins. And that's exactly what Abigail said. Even though for 7 years you may think you're melech, you do not have the halachic status of them because your reputation should not go forth. That same exact concept is being presented here by the Radak in regard to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was appointed king by Paro Necho, the previous world leader, Wahavdil Elif Alfi Avdolos, the same way Shmuel appointed David as melech, but it did not have the halachic status of melech until the following year when his malchus was solidified and yotza tiv'acha ba'olam. So we read the words going to be here, as we make some b'tchil sim v'daniel, b'shnas shalosh l'malach tu yoyakim, melech Yehuda, it was the third year of Yehoyakim, b'od nevuchanetz melech b'avel yishlayim, by yotza olecha. Ach ne'mar, so the explanation for this is, ki b'shnas shalosh l'malach tu yoyakim ha'mahim lichoy paro nicho melech nevuchanetzah. He called the shots. Paro Necho, and he said the one that's going to replace Evel Merodach is going to be Nebuchadnezzar, and he demanded of him that he should go to Yerushalayim and lay siege. Ubal Yerushalayim by Yotzer Lecho, but Uvishnas Harvis Lehoyakim B'tchilis Hashan and Nasan Hashem B'yodis Yoyakim, and he succeeded. And that success was the solidification of his malchus. Vayhi Shnohar Rishonah Rishonah. Nebuchadnezzar, and that's what we count as the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, Pasuk Beis in the Radak, I'll call Am Yehuda upon the nation Mo'el, V'al Kol Yoshev Yishlayim Im Yehuda Min Ha'arim Ha'achero Shebol Yishlayim V'divrei Yirmiyahu Aleihem V'al Yoshve Yerushalayim. In other words, this Pasuk was just repeating over here that Yirmiyahu he spoke to the entire Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Gimel Zeh Shalosh Esrei Shana. I've been speaking already to you for 23 years. I've been screaming. Yoshiyahu Molach, he here repeats the same calculation as Mitzudos and Radak. Yoshiyahu Molach, Shloishim Viachashana. Uwe Yud Gimel Shalom Molachot, Tchilas Nivos Yirmiyahu. Nimsa, Yirmiyahu Minisnabe Bimei Yoshio Yud Teshana. That means that Yirmiyahu, he prophesies for 19 years, the last 19 years of Yoshiyahu. Unevuazu Hoysa Bashana Revisli Oyakim Bino Hine, so 4 plus 19 is 23. Hare Shaloshli Eshim Shana. Ashkim Vidaber Ho Alif Mokam Hey. Here it says Ashkim Vidaber. It should say Hashkem. This is a grammatical note. It should really say Hashkem Vidiber, but instead there is an Aleph. And that's the way it's done. Ki oisios hey aleph hey vav yud mischalfas. These four letters, can be exchanged one with another. Unichtava yud hemshech shloy keminak im atzerei beroyif, and the yud over here is hashkeim. In other words, you don't need a yud. A tzerei, whenever you have a tzerei, you don't need a yud. Hashkem. Under the chaf there is a tseirei. So you don't need a mem. Why you don't need a yud after the chaf? Why is it there? It's there. You should not make a mistake. If you notice, that's why in all of the svarim, in all of the old svarim, in the Gemara, every time there is a tseirei, there's always a yud, because the yud serves as a vowel. Okay, in the rabbinic svarim, for example, for example, ayin. What does it mean, ayin? Ayin sham, probably the most popular word in all of the Mishnah Berurah. Ayin sham. How do you spell ayin sham in Hebrew? In ayin, yud, yud, nun. Why are there two yuds? Why don't just say ayin, yud, nun? Ayin. So the answer is the second yud is a vowel. The second yud, since in the olden days they did not put dots in all of the rabbinic svarim, in order that you should know that it's not ayin or it's not ayon, a second yud is an indication that it is a tsere. It is a tsere. There is a tsere underneath the yud. There is a tsere underneath the yud, and the way you show that there is a tsere under the yud is by having a second yud. The second yud is an indication that the first yud is a tsere. That's when you don't have dots. And that rule is only true. Notice, so today, when they write svarim today, and they do have dots, whenever you have nekudos, you're going to leave out the second yud. Because if you have the dots that indicate that it's a tsere, there's no need to have the yud, the second yud. The second yud.
It's tsere because it could be read as ayin.
Ayin, an I. Ayin. So it's not ayin and I.
It's ambiguous. You have to have,
really, we would prefer to have the dots. But since in the olden days there were no dots, so a second yud serves as a replacement for the vowels, the two dots underneath the first yud. That is why in all of the svarim, you're going to find there are so many padded yuds. The padded yuds are serving as a technique to indicate that there should really be a vowel of a tsere, and don't make a mistake and think it should be a chirik or it should be something else. But that rule is only true when it comes to the rabbinic svarim. But in the chumash, and in the Vim and Ksuvim, there you don't apply this rule. And there you have to know that even though there is no Yud, it should automatically be a Tsere. And that's the point that Radak here is making. It says here the word Hashkem. The word Hashkem does not, Gzuntai, does not need a Yud. It should say Hashkem without a Yud. And you have the duty to know that there's a Tsere underneath the Chof. However, occasionally, even in Nach, for whatever reason, an extra yud will be added to make it clear that there is a tsere. Because it adds a silent yud. Okay, let's go further. Finish up the radak. Gesundheit. Pasikei min oilam v'yad oilam. Mizman rav nosno la'avoseichem. From time immemorial, I have given the land of v'yad oilam. Yitnen lechem l'levechem im tirtzu. You're going to receive very shul forever. Lamed lemin oilam loybo al inyan hadavar. The lamed of limin, it's not part of the noun. Elo lamitas etzem hadavar viyaspik inyan zulasa uchamohu lemin hayoyim asher yotzasa mi'eret means from. Lemosai atilach, when should I intrude on your behalf? Hadayim lahem. Similar expressions. Pasuk zayin leman hachisuni, you've angered me. Kosov. Ratzalaymar, Bavur Shehichi Suni, because you have angered me, Vikare Hach Iseni, Laman Hichis Osi Osim Akim, you make idols in order to anger me. Lo Lahano Sheyesh Lohem Ba. For whatever reason, people, they were so crazy, they only worshipped idols. They knew they would not get any benefit from the idols. The only reason why they're worshipping the idols is only to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alright, that concludes the three perushim of these opening psukim, which are taking us into the next section. Okay, we'll stop over here with pasuk ches. Okay, today we're going to do Mate Ephraim. I have new handouts.